Hello, everybody, and welcome to an episode of NFL DFS Today podcast. I am your host, Keith Gork, and I am joined by Mike LaFamina to go ahead and break down this week three main slate for NFL. If you guys were expecting Mike Fiddle, just to let you guys know, unfortunately, he is no longer with Sports Ethos, so it will be myself and Mike until further notice. But, man, I am excited. I know, Mike, you've had some hits and misses this season so far, but feeling pretty good about this week, man. I think we both are kind of on some of the same guys, and so excited to talk about this with you, man. How are you feeling about the slate in general?
I feel good. There's one obvious game to attack that, yeah. You know, everybody seems to be on, and with good reason. There's tons of value on the slate, so I think just trying to prioritize where you want to go up top is going to be, it's going to be the key this week, but you know, as always, it's a fun puzzle to put together, and looking forward to talking about it.
Yeah, I haven't done too much sorting around of my lineups here, but I've done a little bit, and there, like you said, there are quite a few options there. I find myself wanting some of the top options, you know, enough that I'm trying to get some of the cheaper options in, and then I'm like, I don't know if I like that cheap option. I might want to go with that cheap option. So we're almost at the point where there's too many of those cheap guys that you can use to kind of fit in, you know, to get other guys. And we just really don't know which one's going to go off. So some of them are going to have those terrible floor games, and some of them are going to have those nice ceiling games. But let's just kind of go through here and talk about, and we'll be focusing mainly on DraftKings. I do have a FanDuel lineup out there, and I will talk a little bit about that here and there. But for the most part, we'll be focusing on DraftKings. So QB position, I know we've probably got the same guy locked in right now, but there are a few other guys I'm looking at. But talking about QB, what are you looking at here, Mike?
Yeah, so I mentioned this in the article. I usually, in cash games, try and spend down on quarterback just because in years past, the gap between, you know, your top-priced quarterback and your lower-priced, yeah, it hasn't been too extreme. Now, last year, you kind of got crushed doing that with Josh Allen going nuts all the time, Mahomes and Hurts really separating themselves. So far this year, you've been able to get away with some lower price options, but to me, this week, Kirk Cousins just stands out far and above just that game of environment. 54-point total, that's 6 points clears the next highest total on the board. We all know what this Vikings passing attack does. They're the highest throw rate in the league, and getting a juicy matchup at home against another potent offense in the Chargers. It's just worlds colliding.
Yeah. And, you know, obviously we'll talk about that game a little bit more as we kind of wrap up here. We'll talk about maybe our favorite games to kind of target on the slate here. But obviously the Chargers and Vikings, you know, let's not beat around the bush. That is the game everybody is targeting here. So, yeah, I'm with you right there. I think Kirk Cousins, I think you can go Herbert also, but he's more expensive, so why not go with a cheaper option in Cousins? I mean, but I really feel like either of those guys, just based on what we're seeing with the sharps and what they did to the line here after it opened at 49.5 about a little over a week ago on DraftKings, up to 54 now. So it's been climbing steadily. Now it's kind of in the point where it's kind of oscillating between 54 and 54.5. So looks like it's kind of evening out at this point. But yeah, we're expecting a shootout here. I mean, let's talk about we'll stick with QB. So QB, I think Cousins, absolutely. I think he should be there. I think Herbert also should be in your definitely on your radar as well. Another guy I'm going to throw out there, and of course, I'm a Bears fan, so it's top of my mind. But Patrick Mahomes, I think, you know, if you want a safe cash option, he is the most expensive QB on the slate. But really, you can't go wrong there. I mean, the Chicago defense is just in shambles. There's no better word to really explain it. So I think, you know, Mahomes, obviously we'll talk about tight ends too, but Kelce, Mahomes, that kind of, you know, connection, I think is going to be a strong one and an easy one here. The only thing I'd be concerned about there is if the Chiefs put him away early and maybe Mahomes gets an early seat, you know, in the fourth quarter, so he doesn't get his maximum points. But I think either way, he's pretty safe. So are there other guys looking at the QB position there?
Yeah. Just to that point though, Keith, you know, a lot of people always mention that, you know, he might get an early seat. The reason he would get an early seat is because he went bananas.
That's so, true. So he's still pretty good.
I briefly considered Geno Smith when the when the pricing first came out, you know, $5,700 is still a little too cheap for me. I'm not particularly scared of Carolina's defense, especially with J.C. Horn out, their top corner. You know, we saw a return to form last week with Geno and the Seattle offense. I know it was in Detroit, which is, you know, pretty favorable for offenses, but, you know, we saw all last year with Geno and the Seattle offense that they are not afraid to throw the ball early and often. He's got plenty of weapons to get the job done, sprinkle in a little legwork as well. But, you know, it's just for 1200 more, I'm just going Kirk. So,
yeah, no, I understand that. Yeah, I think it's the safer option by far. Some of the guys, though, we do have to talk about, since we're talking about QBs here, we do have to talk about some backup QBs that are certain to be, you know, in the game this week, and whether or not, you know, in those large field GPPs, we might want to roster them here and there. Andy Dalton sticks out to me at 4,900 in that same game against Geno Smith. I know, I don't know the ceiling is going to be incredibly high with Andy Dalton, but at 4,900, I feel like, you know, he could definitely hit, you know, 6X value for you there, as long as, you know, he takes care of the ball. Gets a few passing touchdowns. You know, I don't think it's an insane ceiling there, but I do think that, you know, if you want kind of a pivot off of those top guys and a cheaper option so you can fit in some of those wide receivers and running backs we're looking at, I think he is a guy you can look at. But are you looking at anyone else? I mean, we've got Dalton there, and we've got, you know, maybe Deshaun Watson's out and DTR might get some run. I don't think we've gotten any news on that yet. Where he might be, you know, suspended for pushing the ref out of the way. So maybe that happens. I don't think it will at this point since we haven't heard anything. But anyone else you're looking at that's kind of a backup QB or a lower priced option?
For a lower price, you know, like Gardner Minshew doesn't really interest me all that much.
Yeah, me neither.
You know, nothing against it. It's just, you know, the ceiling's not there. And if I was going to go a cheap option, like bottom of the barrel, like you said, I would do Dalton and just jam as many studs as I could into my lineup and hope he doesn't kill me. I'm okay with, if you want to take a shot on Sam Howell. I'm kind of a Sam Howell truther, but he's been producing. He's, you know, he exploded a little bit last week. I expect a trailing game script for Washington in the game against Buffalo. You know, he can get it done with his legs too, which is always appealing. You know, I don't, the absolute high end upside isn't there, but for 5,400, he could get it there for you. Sam Howell would be my low end guy.
So there's a couple of value options for you at the position if you'd like. If you guys do not follow us here, it is at Ethos Fantasy FB and also at Ethos DFS. Go follow those two accounts on Twitter. If you guys don't have one already, get the DFS Pass. It's $5 a month, and we are going to go ahead and walk you guys up to tip-off on Sunday in our Discord channel, which is free to join, by the way. You can join our Discord channel for free at those Twitter pages. But in order to get access to the pros, you do need that DFS Pass. All right, let's talk about running back. Let's go ahead and pivot here. At the running back position, I think we have similar guys as well. But who are some of the guys that you're targeting here at the running back position?
Yeah, there's a plethora of options at running back this week, especially in that mid $5,000 range. So, you know, I think the move is to grab a couple of those guys. You could even go three running backs in cash this week. I'm okay with that. You know, generally I try and do a wide receiver in the flex on DraftKings because of the PPR environment, but there's so many targets to, in this range, like I said, that with such good volume in good roles due to injury or whatnot. But, you know, Josh Kelly stands out, not to harp too much on this Chargers-Vikings game. He kind of laid an egg last week, but that was going against, you know, probably the best run defense in the league in the Titans, if not, you know, definitely a top five run defense. He's still going to get plenty of opportunity. I don't know if he's going to get quite the same, you know, passing work that Austin Eckler definitely normally does, but there's not much behind him in terms of opportunities for carries. He's going to be out there, and for 5,400 in cash games, that's all you can ask for. So,
yeah. No, I definitely agree there that Josh Kelly, I've got him on my family league, fantasy team. And he was terrible last week, but he also had one of the roughest matchups. So, giving him a pass there, and I'm hoping he can bounce back a little bit for me in fantasy. I like some other guys around that range. Like you said, there's tons of them, so I don't mind going there. For my preferences, though, I am looking at Miles Sanders in that Carolina Seahawks game, and we can talk a little bit about that. But if there is a game that Miles Sanders is going to have a game, this would be the one, and he really needs it to kind of recover his fantasy season so far. So, how you feel about Miles Sanders here?
Yeah, he's another one of those guys in the mid to upper 5K range. I have him projected for right around the same amount of points as Josh Kelly. The opportunity is there. Chuba Hubbard's kind of breathing down his neck a little bit, but not enough to really worry me. Yeah. I think he has a solid role. Seattle's run defense has not been, very impressive to begin the year. They may run the ball a little more with Andy Dalton, back there. So I'm okay with Miles Sanders for sure.
I have another guy here that I'm looking at, and I'm curious to hear your thoughts on him as well. Gus Edwards, 5,300. I mean, another guy obviously in that range we're looking at. I think a lot of people though, so I play GPPs, and I think I'm in a single entry GPP, and I'm gonna roll with them, and here's why. Yep. I think a lot of people are gonna look at them and say, they're against the Colts. The Colts have held opposing running backs down. I think it's 2.3 yards per carry, the lowest in the league. But they also had the Colts last week in week two. They had Houston Texans who just couldn't get anything going on the ground. So that really brought that average down. So I think it's a bit of a not exactly a data point that we can really lean on too heavily at this point. I don't think the Colts run defense is the best in the league. I really don't feel that way. So there's no one there in Baltimore behind Gus Edwards. So that's really the volume's going to be there. So I'm leaning on Gus Edwards here. Is it stupid of me? Are there other people I should be looking at specifically in a single entry GPP?
I don't hate the play. Obviously he's the guy, right? Unless the artist formerly known as Melvin Gordon gets a run, but I'm not expecting a whole lot. The only argument against it that you could say is that Indy's pass defense is just so dreadful that Lamar is going to pick him apart, and it's going to be the Lamar and Zay Flowers show with Bateman and sprinkling in with Mark Andrews as well. So, but if that's the case, there's going to be a lot of opportunity to be running at the end of the game if it does get out of hand.
I can see this working for me in two ways. Like you said right there, I can see it working where Lamar, the air raid works, right? And we've got the air raid, and everybody gets their piece. So Lamar's probably a really good play in that scenario. But since they're up and they're winning by a lot, they have to run the ball towards the end of the game. So hopefully Gus Edwards gets some extra runs there. And I think, again, with the volume there, it could work for me. And then the other thing is I'm just pivoting off of that narrative. So, let's say it isn't for whatever reason, Lamar throws a couple of picks or, just something's not working in the air game. And all of a sudden they turn to the run and that's ends up smashing. I mean, I'm probably beating the field. I mean, is that going to happen? Is it probable? No, it's not. But it is definitely a pivot, I would say. So,
yeah, absolutely. Someone else to consider, he'll be a little more owned than Gus Edwards for sure, but he's not going to be crazy owned, is Raheem Mostert. He's, another guy who's not much behind him. Even when Ahmed went down in the second quarter last week, A-Chain was nowhere to be seen. I don't know if that's just he wasn't ready yet to really make an impact. I do think we'll see an appearance from him in this game, but I think this is Mostert's show for now. Definitely. And Denver's D is not what it once was. So Mostert at 6,000 is definitely an option, especially single entry. Is a good pivot in a way from I expect Josh Kelly to get the ownership. ETN is a great option and should get a lot of the ownership as well. people are going to be going to Jerome Ford for for that price tag.
It's a nice price tag.
Enthusiastic. It's amazing, but I expect Cleveland to be throwing the ball more. Now, that also depends. You know, if Watson's out, then my tune may change. But
yeah, that's true. And Watson's an interesting guy too. I mean, if we're trying to get a little bit different as well, just go back to QB position, 6,100 for Watson might not be a bad call either. Because like you said, I mean, you want to attack that Titans defense via the air, and that's probably what they're going to do here. So yeah, I can dig it for sure. Some of the running backs, I know we were talking about a couple of them, before we jumped down here, but some of the higher price guys, you definitely want to get them in your lineup as well. If you're making room, you're saving money somewhere, you got to spend it somewhere. And there are a couple of high price guys I'm looking at here. I just want to mention one that you're probably not going to mention, so you can mention the one I'm sure you're going to mention. So I like Bijan Robinson, though, at 7,800 against the Detroit Lions. Detroit, I think I could see a scenario where, I think the Falcons play a smart game. They get up a touchdown. They use a run game to run out some of that clock. You want to keep the Detroit Lions offense off the field. I think that's really what the key is there if the Falcons hope to stay in this one and pull out an upset. So I could see that game script happening where, the Falcons get the first TD on the board. The Detroit Lions get a three and out or something. And now suddenly we've got the run game just engaged. And you got Algier and Bijan just running all over the Detroit Lions, who aren't a particularly good defense anywhere on the field, really. So I like that call there with Bijan. But there's another guy that you were looking at as well that was priced up. I know, it seems like you're on the same page with Bijan, but there's another guy you might be a little bit more excited about, right?
Yeah, I think this has the potential to be the Tony Pollard show this week. Obviously, mega game script potential going against Arizona. He's just getting an insane workload. That was the big question coming into the year. Could Tony Pollard be the guy? Is it going to be Ronald Jones getting some work behind him? Rico Dell? Everybody got excited about Deuce Vaughn for a little bit there in the preseason, but it's been Tony Pollard, and some more Tony Pollard. he's had the most carries inside the 10-yard line this year with 12, which is an insane number through two games. The defense just continues to put them in position to score, which I expect to continue this week against this Arizona offense. Even with Diggs going out, I don't think that'll come back to burn them this week. Maybe further down the road, but yeah, Pollard season.
Let me tell you, Mike, the spread opened at 6.5 in favor of the Cowboys. That was 3 months ago, and it's climbed to 13 points, 12.5 points, somewhere in that range. So, this is going to be a thrumming. I know the Cardinals have really stayed in games here. I heard them, I was in the SiriusXM radio, I think it was, and one of the people was on there saying, I think the Cardinals are going to, they've really showed some resilience here, and they're going to stick in this one. I don't see it. I think, as long as the Cowboys execute. Yeah, go ahead.
The Cowboys aren't the Commanders and the Giants. No. It's a different year. I'd be remiss going back just a touch in those mid 5K options if I didn't mention Zach Moss. He's really catching my eye here. He got every single touch out of the backfield from the Colts last week. Rookie Evan Holes on IR. Deion Jackson was an absolute disaster week one, hence why you didn't see him in week two. And I think Gardner Minshew being in helps Zach Moss because Anthony Richardson is not, Minshew is not going to be rushing the ball like Richardson was, so that opens up, all the rushing volume to him. And he was involved in the passing game too. I believe he had four catches last week, so even any contributions you get out of him in the receiving game is just that much more beneficial. He'd be more of a cash game play to me. He's probably going to be one of the higher owned plays, so yeah. You could play him in tournaments. You just got to make sure you get different elsewhere.
Make sure you identify those pivots. All right, let's move on to the wide receivers, though. And again, if you guys haven't already, go ahead and like and subscribe wherever you are listening. Leave us a review also. We would love to get your feedback and let us know how we're doing and how we can do better. But let's talk about wide receivers. And this is where – so the reason I'm not playing Josh Kelly is because I am looking at that Minnesota and Chargers game, mm-hmm. and I am looking at the wide receiver room very heavily. And so I don't want to, if I'm playing the wide receivers there, I don't want to play the running backs. I just feel like you're capping yourself in the knee. You're capping your ceiling there if you pull that. And of course, I'm playing a GPP, so I'm all about trying to find that right. ceiling. And Justin Jefferson, 9,300. I mean, if I'm going to spend up on the slate, I really, 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 really believe he's going to score a touchdown in this game.
Yes.
Let me go ahead and say that there.
He
hasn't scored through the first 2 weeks, which is just insane. I mean, he's had such good games. Just hasn't, and I know it wasn't, I can't remember exactly how many, but he was stopped at the goal line last season, like a ridiculous number of times. So hopefully that doesn't happen again to him this season. But 9,300.
The end zone.
Yeah, or fumble. Yeah, fumble. So 9,300 for Justin Jefferson. I definitely want to go there. I think it's a safe play. I think it's also a high ceiling play. I just love it. It's absolutely great. And if I'm going to go there, I want to run it back with a receiver on the other side. So obviously Keenan Allen's on the table. I'm in a GPP, so I'm going Quentin Johnston. That's risky. I understand. Didn't have a whole lot of snaps in the last game, so people are going to be off of him. But again, you're in a GPP. Those are the kind of guys you want to go for, and it's going to be a high scoring affair. Even if he's not in for a large number of snaps, if he can catch a touchdown pass or a long pass for a touchdown, I think at 3,400, man, that could absolutely smash for you. So, but yeah, talk to me about a little bit about those receivers, and then what other wide receivers you're kind of looking at here.
Yeah, sure. So when you're in, especially in that GPP environment, don't be afraid to attack just different parts, like you're mentioning with Quentin Johnston. Don't be afraid to, if you're stone cold set on doing a Viking stack, you can include Jefferson, but throw in Addison also. Throw in KJ Osborne also. Throw in TJ Hockenson also, not all in one lineup, but probably two of them, maybe three if you want to get extra spicy, and then bring it back with Mike Williams or bring it back with Gerald Everett. Just get some piece of the game that you want. Justin Jefferson's an easy click for me in cash games. It's a note, like this is the prime of all prime setups, his workload is insane. We talked about it going over Kirk Cousins, how much they throw the ball. Obviously, Justin Jefferson's the alpha of all alphas in that offense. And he's been going nuts, scoring over 23 points a game in DraftKings, and that's not even scoring a touchdown yet this year. So, there's a case for Tyreek Hill in tournaments, too. He's going to get less ownership. And he has just as high of a ceiling. I'm okay with going Tyreek Hill in tournaments. Other cash game considerations, Christian Kirk is really interesting. We saw him come back to life last week. And with Zay Jones being out, I do expect him to be the wide receiver two in the offense. Houston has Derek Stingley out, so it could be a long day for Houston on the defensive side of the ball. And at only $5,400, we could see another 10, 12 target game for Christian Kirk, who repeatedly was a go-to option for Lawrence last year. I know Ridley's there this year, but there's enough for both of them to eat. And at $5,400, that's just a juicy price tag for a pretty safe floor, I think, this week. Kirk.
Yeah, absolutely. And you were talking about the Vikings want to throw the ball. I mean, we know they traded for Cam Akers, not going to be ready for this week, going to be out. Still got Alexander Mattison back there. I think, them trading for Cam Akers is an indictment of some sort on Mattison and what they've gotten from him so far, which hasn't been good. Kind of predictably so, if you ask me, but it is what it is. He's okay. He's not great. So they're going to pass the ball a whole heck of a lot. So I just think, especially in cash teams, stacking up those Vikings makes a whole lot of sense. Now I will say, You mentioned him already, but I believe before Mike, but Zay Flowers, somebody I had in an earlier iteration of this, but since I went with Gus Edwards as my pivot, I came off of him. I didn't want to go, a wide receiver and running back on Baltimore. Just didn't make sense to me. So, but Zay Flowers, I mean, you know, you're talking about the air raid offense potentially against the Indianapolis Colts, who obviously terrible at guarding the pass. So he's absolutely got to be in your consideration. Some other guys around that same price point, I think you can pivot to Nico Collins, 5,300. You know, I think he's definitely there. You said you Michael Thomas for New Orleans. I like him as well at 5,300. So there's plenty of guys in that, like, you know, 5 to 5,400 range. I'll even throw it in there as a noted Bear hater this season, DJ Moore at 5,700, a little bit more expensive, but and it's gross. And I would only do it in a GPP or a tournament, but. But my thinking is, you know, with Justin Fields saying he's going to play more into his style of game, where he's going to be doing, you know, the bootleg stuff, you know, running out, getting on the run, cutting off half the field for him, he's going to have to target heavily the guys that he's rolling towards. It's always going to be DJ Moore. Right. So I think he's going to target him pretty heavily, honestly, this week. So I think he's a sneaky a GPP player there. But I think there's a lot of guys in that range, though, that I like quite a bit. And are there other guys you're looking at around there?
Going down, dipping down just a little bit, Elijah Moore is kind of interesting at 4,700. You know, he has a pretty solid workload. I do expect Cleveland to throw the ball a little more in this game. Amari Cooper's a little banged up. So Elijah Moore, 4,700. Same thought process with Jacksonville, Houston. Tank Dell really made his presence known last week. You know, Noah Brown went on IR. Robert Woods is kind of hitting the age where he's starting to get phased out a little bit. I don't know if it's going to be this week, but eventually Tank Dell is going to be the wide receiver too there. You know, they had no problem having CJ Stroud threw it all over the yard last week. They could be in that position again to be doing so. He went 7 catches, 72 yards, and a touchdown on 10 targets last week. And he played close to 80% of the offensive snaps. So at 3,600 for that amount of targets and volume, Tank Dell is definitely in consideration for cash.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I'm sad because I had to trade Tank Dell away in a 30-team dynasty earlier for Derek Carr because I had Aaron Rodgers as my quarterback. So, of course, I have no starting quarterback now. So I was like, So I had to give up the youth there to try to compete this season because I have a pretty decent team this season. But you know, I agree there. I think Tank's a really interesting guy as well. Let's move on, though. Let's just get the tight ends here. And talk a little bit about that. We were talking a little bit before we hopped on here. One of the guys we were both looking at, I've got him on both sides, Zach Ertz against the Dallas Cowboys. You were saying you were a little bit off of him, though. So talk to me about that. What's going on there?
It's not so much the play. It's just I think another play has emerged with the uncertainty with Jaylen Waddle. Durham Smythe has saying both those names and touting both of those make me want to puke a little bit. But you have to get cheap somewhere, and you know, tight end, unless you're paying up for Kelsey, which I get. But he was on the field for all but I believe 2 snaps in just such a high octane offense that Miami has. You know, so usually it's pretty concentrated. We know what Miami's going to do. They're going to get the ball to Waddle, and they're going to get the ball to Tyreek Hill. But if Waddle's out, I'm really going to strongly consider Smythe. He's carved out a pretty nice role, and he's definitely in consideration to be the number 2 in targets this week if all goes well. I'm still okay with Zach Ertz. You know, 18 targets, leads all tight ends. I don't know. It's 2023.
And are we sure? No,
we're talking about Zach Ertz still
relevant.
You know, I don't really know what they're doing, but he's out there and he's earning targets. So, you know, I've heard the theory that maybe they're trying to showcase him to trade him, but I don't who's trading for Zach Ertz. I don't I don't know who that team is or what they would even get for it. So that doesn't really make sense to me. But yeah, it's just you have to look at it at face value. They're gonna be trailing in all likelihood. That Dallas defensive line is gonna put pressure on Dobbs. I don't think he's gonna have a lot of downfield options, and Ertz is a safety blanket, you know, for short targets. It's not gonna be anything sexy. It'll be six catches for 40 yards, you know.
Yeah.
But that's 10 points on DraftKings, and that's pretty hard to come by from the tight end position, unless your name is Travis Kelce or Mark Andrews or TJ Hartz. So
well, that's the thing. Yeah. It's just, you know, I think we're going bargain hunting at tight end unless you're paying up for, and I think you can absolutely pay up for Mark Andrews. Let me just go ahead and say that if you do pay up for Mark Andrews, you can, I think you can probably mix him in with, you know, Zay Flowers or whatever, but I would rather not. I would probably just do Mark Andrews or Zay Flowers or maybe a Bateman if I'm really feeling froggy, something like that. But I do think Mark Andrews is definitely in play here. Kelce, absolutely. Against the Bears, of course, Kelce and Patrick Mahomes, that makes for a very nice stack. It's just so expensive. And then how are you other things into your lineup? I think another guy I'm looking at kind of in the cheaper range here is Sam LaPorta. And I've been singing his praises for, you know, since the offseason. But he is absolutely involved in this offense in Detroit. There's no two ways around it. Probably going to get four or five catches. You know, hopefully he gets 40, 50 yards. Same kind of boat, though, as Ertz, right? And so if you're looking for that, I feel like Ertz is probably the safer floor, honestly. So I'd rather just spend a little bit less on Ertz. So, but that's my thing. You know, you're right, though. You know, if there's no Waddle, we could see, obviously, a leap in targets for Smythe. We're going bargain hunting here. I don't think we're really looking at any of the other guys in the mid-range here. Could they pop off? Sure. It's hard to really, I don't want to play tight end roulette. I just don't. let's talk about defenses though. I think we're both targeting the same defense. But let me talk about some other ones here that I don't necessarily have in my lineups yet. Again, Chiefs against the Bears. Bears look absolutely discombobulated on the offensive end. Just so much confusion. Wide receivers running to the same spots on third downs. Justin Fields not getting his eyes downfield. There's just so many things that are wrong with the Bears offense that the Chiefs at 3,900 on DraftKings seem like a safe play. An expensive play is the problem because that's a whole 1,100 more than the defense I currently have in there. But I would go to the Chiefs. Are there other defenses you're looking at as well?
Yeah, there's a few that have definitely caught my eye. The Bills are certainly in play. You know, we don't, as much as I sang the praises of Sam Howell earlier in the podcast, we don't know for sure, you know, what that's going to look like. And after losing to the Jets in week one, they kind of corrected the ship last week, got a few turnovers. And 2,900 is just a little too cheap for what I think their ceiling could be. So they're in play. I think you could, on the flip side, you could even do the Commanders if you really need the money. They're only 2,400. You know, Josh Allen is not immune to a couple picks here and there. You know, fumble up.
Weeks ago, yeah.
Leaping for first downs when he's 5 yards away from the first down line, first down yard marker. I expect a couple sacks too. You know, they could just get absolutely run. So that's always the gamble. But there's turnover and sack potential that I think you could do worse with that price range.
I don't have the cojones for this, but one defense I'm looking at right now that's kind of sticking out to me, and it's not the one I have in my lineup because I just don't have cojones for it, but the Tennessee Titans against the Cleveland Browns. You said, it's Deshaun Watson's going to have to throw the ball probably because their run game's probably not going to get a lot going. So what you're really playing there is you're playing the potential for turnovers, for interceptions, you know, maybe a fumble. We'll see. But I think that's absolutely something you need to consider, especially in GPPs, because – Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, can Deshaun Watson, he's been pretty terrible all season so far. Can he throw a pick or two? Absolutely. So I think that's one you can look at there. But one that we both went on here, Mike, and I do want to talk about them as well, is the New York Jets against the Patriots. I just think that Jets defense had a rough week last week. Absolutely. But I think this week, rebounding, playing against the Patriots, who I'm not a Mac Jones believer. I don't know if you are, but I'm not a Mac Jones believer. I think he's also liable to throw a pick or two as well. If they throw as much as they've been throwing through the first couple weeks. So I do like the Jets defense here, and I think you do as well. So talk to me about those guys. Talk to me about any of the other ones looking at here.
Yeah, you touched on it. You know, 2,800 is a good price for a game with by far the lowest total of the week. So that's always, you know, an added bonus to be attacking. There's no explosiveness in this New England offense, so I don't think you're going to get burned on points. It may end up just being kind of a boring game. The downside, right, is that it's kind of a boring game. You get like a sack and no turnovers, and it's just like, so you end up getting like 7 points, which isn't, you know, that's fine. That's not going to kill you, but you know, there is upside to this defense for sure. You know, I don't mind going the other side with the Patriots at 3,500. I'm in cash. I'm not doing that. It's just too expensive. And I need those savings elsewhere. But if you kind of want to pay up to be a little bit contrarian in a tournament setting, I am never going to tell you not to play the defense playing Zach Wilson. So, especially when it's the Patriots. So, but the Jets are my preferred of that group.
And I've got the Jets in there as well. That's my preferred one out of all of them as well. But that's going to do it for our position kind of recommendations here. Again, this is a kind of an early primer. Things will change, I guarantee you, between now and Sunday. You guys have to get the NFL Fantasy Pass, or I'm sorry, you should have to get the DFS Pass to go ahead and get access to Mike L here and myself and talk to us about what you're thinking about and you know, who we're going to play. But in closing here, I do want to just kind of point, I know we've talked plenty about the Chargers and the Vikings here, Mike, but just kind of want to, you know, highlight for each of us, maybe each of us picks out a game that we are looking at outside of that, and we're excited to watch. So do you have a game that's kind of sticking out to you on the slate that's not the Chargers Vikings that's kind of sticking out to you as a game that's going to be a fun one, maybe scores a little bit more than people would imagine?
Yeah, I think maybe not fun to watch necessarily, but I think Houston and Jacksonville has the potential to score a lot more points than people are thinking about right now, just because, you know, last week, if I told you Houston and Indy was going to go nuts, you probably would have gave me a side eye, and I would have not believed it. But, you know, Houston's shown some competency on offense. We talked about a couple of their pieces, right, with Nico Collins and with Tank Dell. Obviously, Jacksonville has a pretty strong offense, hoping to rebound after a pretty meager effort last week against the Chiefs. Obviously, I think the Chiefs have a stronger defense than Houston. So I think that one could get a little more run than people expect. And also, I think Denver and Miami could get a little higher, too. Russ hasn't looked as bad this year. They built up a pretty good lead against Washington last week, just blew it. They've got some pieces with Marvin Mims, Judy's back. And then we all know how explosive Miami can be. Those are a couple games I got my eye on to pair with Minnesota and the Chargers in my lineups.
So if you're looking, feeling a little frisky there, instead of stacking Chargers, Vikings, maybe you stack that one. Now I'm going to point out a game that I'm just excited about for various reasons here. I'm going to talk about it, but maybe not necessarily a higher scoring game than what, you know, Vegas has or anything like that. But the Falcons and Detroit Lions, I'm just really interested to see. Desmond Ridder had 18 pass attempts week one, and then last week he had, I think, somewhere in the 20s or 30s. So it was definitely an increased pass attack. Obviously, we saw Drake London, Drake London definitely got involved. I think some other receivers did as well, but we saw more passing there. So I'm curious to see what that offense looks like, given the game script. You know, if they're down, do they throw the ball more? If they're up, do they run more? That's the inclination right now. But you know, will that hold true? And then obviously, we all know Jared Goff with his home, away splits, and he's home now. Against the Falcons, and it's a dome game. I mean, it's just so many things that, it may almost make me want to play Jared Goff, because you all know how much I love Jared Goff, 6,500. But I'm gonna say no, because I'm a little worried about Amon-Ra St. Brown being a little banged up with the turf toe, and maybe a little bit slowed down there. But yeah, I think that game's just interesting to me. And obviously, no David Montgomery, so Clark Reynolds going to get the goal line carries. So I think that, in terms of like the games I'm going to watch just to kind of get a few more data points, that's one that I'm going to go with, I think. So,
yeah, that's a good pick. The jury's still out on Ridder. I think they started to unlock some things last week. We saw him running around a little bit more too in the second half as they were making their comeback. So, be interesting to see if that's, a real thing moving forward, or is that just kind of a product of what happened in the game. Do the Lions unleash Gibbs here, or do they kind of just continue to stay the course and work them in little by little here? That's a good pick too.
Yeah, there's definitely some interesting storylines there. But that's going to do it for us, guys. That is our week three DFS primer for the main slate. I am Keith Cork. You can follow me on Twitter at Ethos Keith. At Ethos Keith. And Mike, where can people find you and your work, my friend?
Yeah, Twitter, the handle is at MLAFEM10, MALAFEM10. I'm frequently checking in on the Discord for those DFS pass troopers for Sports Ethos. So that's where you can find me.
Yeah, absolutely. If you guys are in that DFS pass, do go in there and speak to Mike. He is absolutely a wealth of knowledge and always there and happy to answer your question. You had the call of who was it that got that touchdown in the last game?
Ronnie Bell.
Yeah, yes. Ronnie Bell. Yeah, the Ronnie Bell call of the last week. So or Monday's game, I should say. Thursday's game. Gosh, where's my brain? Thursday's game. Anyways, go check us out. If you are there, go get active there. But until next time, guys, hey, go get that money.